He is risen. Woo! Man, what a morning. What a morning. There is no other morning like this in the church year. We are so excited that you're here. And I just want to welcome you again and say good morning. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you've chosen to worship with us. My name is Ken. I know some of you were wondering who the guy in the suit was, so I figured I might introduce myself. I really did this for my mom, who isn't here this morning, but she'd be proud. So, man, we're glad that you've chosen to celebrate this Easter service with us. Maybe you heard the story of the guy who came home one day after work to discover that his dog had the neighbor's lifeless pet rabbit by the neck. And the thing was all dirty, and in a panic, he took the dirty, blood-stained rabbit. He washed it off. He blow-dried it to fluff it all up and make it look good. And then he propped it up in the neighbor's rabbit cage to make it look like maybe the rabbit had died of natural causes, right? Well, a couple hours later, the guy heard a scream. And he ran out to see what was happening. And he was a little nervous, and the neighbor's 8-year-old was out screaming and pointing at the rabbit cage and acting as if he didn't know what had happened. The guy said, "What's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong?" And the child simply responded, "Our rabbit, our rabbit, our rabbit. It died last week. We buried it, but it's back." Now, folks, try as we may, there's really only one real resurrection that we're talking about this morning. Amen? Man, I love Easter. I love Easter because it is all about hope. And we could all use a little hope, couldn't we? Our world could use a little bit of hope right now, couldn't it? There's so much going on in our lives and in the world where we need a healthy dose of hope. Because let's just be honest, there's discouragement all over the place. I mean, discouragement comes in so many shapes and forms. Some of them are huge and some of them are little. We've been doing this couch to 5K thing, and I was learning how to run because I don't run much, okay? I can block people, I just don't run much. But so we thought this would be good, and we're doing this, and I was on one of the training things over at Pepper Tree Park, and I was getting lapped by everybody. You're kind of like, okay, you know, I'm not doing that great. And not only am I getting lapped, I came around and there were some guys coming the other direction. So I scooted over a little bit and went under these monkey bars that you do chin-ups on. And I saw the big one. The shorter one blended into the backstop of the ball field. And that thing hit me right about here. And man, that thing just laid me out. And there I am laying on the ground, and who comes up? And I'm like, I don't know if I can get up. Everything's spinning. And who comes up but a guy who had to have been in his 80s or so, and he's running in place, just looking at me. I mean, talk about embarrassing, right? I mean, there's a little dose of discouragement. Discouragement is all over the place. And some of you this morning, You have things that are a little bit more intense than that. Some of you might be facing real health issues. You've tried all kinds of things, but nothing seems to work. Some of you are discouraged by relational turmoil, the things in your life, the things in your home, the things in relationships. You can't imagine what it will take to make them work or if they'll work. The news is discouraging. In fact, if you're not discouraged this morning, just go home, turn on the news, watch for a minute. You'll figure out why everybody else is so discouraged and angry. Work situations can be discouraging. I mean, you know, you apply for a job, you know, you don't get a call back, or maybe you get the interview, but then you don't get the call back. That's almost even worse. And then there's this, you know, when you're growing up, you try to make the team. Maybe you don't make the team, or maybe you do make the team, and then you have to sit on the bench. Those things are discouraging. Or maybe you're a Lakers fan. Enough said, right? Spent all that money, thought it would work. Well, we all face discouragement in our lives and times where we don't think things are going as we expect that they should. What I love about Easter is it reminds us that there is a hope out there that is far greater than any of the discouragements that life can throw our way. It is a hope that is rooted in our belief that 2,000 years ago, God raised Jesus from the dead. And this morning, I want to invite you to look with me at a couple powerful verses in the Bible that explain how the Easter story, the story of Jesus' resurrection, brings us incredible hope. These verses are found in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter was a guy who knew. He knew firsthand the realities of discouragement and the power of the resurrection to bring hope. Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was the only other person that we know of besides Jesus who actually walked on water, even though it was only a couple steps. Peter had a front row seat to Jesus' teaching, his miracles, but also to his arrest, and eventually Jesus' crucifixion. And on the night that Jesus was arrested, Peter, he denied even knowing Jesus. That had to have been one of the most discouraging points in Peter's life. He totally bailed on Jesus. But 30 years later, he writes a book to some Christians who were living under persecution, some Christians who were very discouraged, who were in desperate need of hope. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation." Man. Now, some translations say he's given us this new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But I like that line. Now we live with great expectation. How many of you woke up this morning and you had great expectation? All right. Now, was it church or was it, you know, the candy you might get later? Okay. Now, when you think about it, let me ask something. I mean, how many of you are morning people? Some of you morning people, you get up in the morning, you're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you're ready to go. That's me most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. How many of you hate getting up in the morning? See, yeah. So for how many of you is the snooze button a gift from God? Yeah? I was doing some study on this and realized that the average person who uses the snooze button hits it 3 times, okay? That's like on average. Is there anyone in here who actually sets their clock a half hour earlier so they can hit the snooze button a couple of times? Keep your hands up. Look around. Look at these people. These are the snooze button abusers right here. That's amazing. Okay? Because sometimes we just don't want to face the reality that the time has come, right? And that we need to get up. And it's amazing to me because sometimes there are times in our lives when something uncomfortable, discouraging happens, things aren't going our way, they don't meet our expectations, and the alarm goes off and in life and we hit the proverbial snooze button on life. Like maybe you've had some mistakes in the past that you'd like to forget about. And when the memories of those things or the consequences of those things rear their ugly heads, deep down inside, you know that you should deal with it. But instead, just bam, you reach out and you tap the snooze button to avoid the pain, to avoid those thoughts. Maybe it's the fear of the future. You're on a career path, or maybe you have the lack of a career path, and so you get discouraged. You'd hope things would be in a better place by now, but you feel like you just feel stuck, or you feel lost, and so sometimes you just reach out and bam, you hit the snooze button. Maybe it's just the stress and the busyness of life. You're just wondering, how did things get so crazy? And you seem like you're running faster and doing less, and so sometimes you just bam, you hit the snooze button on life. But the snooze button on life looks a little bit different than a snooze button on your alarm clock, doesn't it? Maybe just one more drink, one more TV show to escape into, one more shopping spree on the credit card, one more sleeve of Oreos. I'll admit that's been mine from time to time. One more pain pill, one more whatever it takes to help you avoid the realities of life. We hit the snooze button all the time because we think that it will keep us comfortable, avoiding reality. It'll help us keep us in the dark, help us just be asleep. But what we're really hoping for, what we're really wanting, what our heart truly longs for is something to come along and give us some motivation to get out of bed, to get out of these things, to bring about change in life, to help change the expectations. There's a verse in Ephesians 5:14 that I think is applicable for us, people like us. It says this in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Hear that? Wake up. O sleeper, rise up from the dead and Christ will give you life. As I was studying this, I realized that there's some Bible scholars, some theologians that believe that that little verse was a phrase out of a song that early Christians used to sing about Easter. And it makes sense, right? Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead and Christ will give you life. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation that the early church would sing to come and let Christ awaken in our lives the things that we try to keep at bay, the things that we try to just hit the snooze button on, to live lives of great expectations, not expecting discouragement, but through Christ and his resurrection, expecting victory. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have great expectations. So turn to the person next to you and say, "I've got great expectations." Now do that one more time and say it like you mean it. So how is it then that we can live these lives of great expectations? First, we need to experience God's mercy. The passage tells us. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, "All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is by his great mercy that we have been born again." By his great mercy. Mercy means not getting what we deserve. Amen to that. How many of you would like to get what you deserved last week? Man, I mean, the good news is that God doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says this, "But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." Do you know, first of all, how much God loves you? You see, that is the big story of Easter, how much God loves you. You see, in order to have a resurrection, you first have to have a death. And God sent his son Jesus Christ to die a very brutal death that we talked about on Friday, to allow himself to be pierced for our transgressions, that he took on all of the sin of all mankind for all time so that we could be forgiven, so that we didn't have to pay that penalty. He did. And that is God's incredible mercy. And the death and resurrection scream of God's love for us. When we believe that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, when we believe that they were real and that they were done on our behalf, then we can put our trust in him and we can experience God's mercy and forgiveness of our sins. And we can have a restored relationship with God. We all have things that we wish that we could forget. Maybe you went through a nasty divorce, you've suffered abuse, or maybe you were an abuser. Maybe you've struggled with an addiction or in a habit. The good news is that because of Jesus Christ, that no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what you have done, we can find forgiveness of our past and start a process of being healed from our past because of new life in Christ. He says that we, because of his great mercy, we have this new birth. The new birth is something that he told one of the guys named Nicodemus who came to him and he says, "Hey, how can I be saved?" He says, you got to be born again. You need this new birth. And the new birth for us is really this idea. It's almost like a reset button. It's where you say, "Hey, all of this stuff, all of the sins of my past, all these things that I've done, that because of the mercy of God, because he takes away our sin, because of the power of the resurrection to bring things from death to life, that I can hit that mercy button and say, it's time to start again. And no matter what you've done, Christ wants you to know that you can have a new life. I mean, the good news, like I said, is that you can begin this process also of healing. It doesn't always happen immediately. There's things that we continue to struggle with. Our sins are forgiven. As soon as we believe, as soon as we accept them, our sins are forgiven. But sometimes that process of healing takes a while because, quite honestly, it takes us a while sometimes to let go. A friend of mine, a pastor, a guy named Jed Wilhite, he says this. He says, if you don't deal with the pain of your past, you will deal from the pain of your past. And you'll start to deal that out to the people around you. And you'll start to hurt them as well. The hope of Easter is that because of God's mercy, we are no longer dead in our sin, but we can find forgiveness and healing from our past. The next thing we need to do is, not only do we need to experience God's mercy, we need to live in hope. See, Easter is all about hope. The world thinks that hope is just kind of a strong desire for something, wishful thinking, like wishing that the Dodgers would win the World Series. Right? Maybe it's, I hope nobody finds out what I did. Maybe it's, I hope I have enough gas in the tank, or I hope I have enough money in my wallet. Biblical hope, though, it is not an uncertain desire. It's not just kind of a thing on the side. We throw the word hope around all the time, right? Like, I hope what I just ate was okay, right? I was just in Mexico for a couple days, so yeah, explains that. But the reality is that the biblical hope is not an uncertain desire, but a confident expectation. It says, I know, I expect these things to happen because of what God has done and because our God always keeps his promises. Again, in 1 Peter 1:3, he has this phrase that says, now we live in great expectation. And like I said, in some translations it's translated, we have this living hope. And I was trying to wrap my head around, like, what's it mean to have a living hope? Right? I mean, is there such a thing as a dead hope, right? I mean, maybe a dead hope is a thing that you kind of wish, but you know probably isn't going to happen. But a living hope, I started to think about it, and I started to think about the fact that this living hope is because most of us put our hope in something. Maybe it's finances. We put our hope in having enough of that. Maybe it's our possessions, our homes, our automobiles, all these things. We put our hope in those things. Maybe it's our health, our good looks, right? But every one of those things we know will eventually wear out and break down. And if you don't believe me, especially if you're over 40, look at your high school yearbook photo, right? I mean, as you get a little older, start to get a few more wrinkles, and then your wrinkles have some wrinkles. And then your weight, it shifts from the poles of your body to the equator. Yeah, that gets a little scary. And then your hair, it starts to move from the places you want it to the places that you don't. Your body starts to break down. And rather than putting our hope in things, which will always disappoint us, those things will wear out. We need to put our hope not in something, but in someone. And that someone is the person of Jesus. And I hope when you come back next week, because I hope you come back next week, we're going to start a series called I Am. And it goes through 7 statements in the book of John that Jesus said about himself. So if you want to get to know who this Jesus is, then I want to encourage you to come back. Because this is going to be powerful stuff. Because it's not Jesus from what everybody else thinks about. It's from what Jesus says in his own words about who he is. And our hope is found not in something, but in someone. And the someone is Jesus Christ. You see, we have a living hope because we have a living Savior. Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The word hope appears 85 times in the New Testament. The original language word in there. And as I was studying that, I found that only 4 of those are in there before the resurrection. All 81 others are after the resurrection. So I'm no brain surgeon, but it's not hard for me to imagine where our hope comes from. It comes from the resurrection of Jesus. And not in any other worldly thing. See, our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus, and our hope is anchored in heaven. Take a look at 1 Peter 1, verse 4, and it says this. It says, and, okay, because we have this great expectation, it says, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. It can't break down. Everything else in this world is going to break down. Everything else is going to go away. Everything else is going to let you down. But this is placed in heaven for you. This life is not the end. Our eternal life is a priceless inheritance. The Bible tells us that heaven is a place where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying. Total opposite of being a Rams fan. We were just so close. No more back pain, no more knee pain, ankles that work right. I mean, no more illness, no more cancer, no more abuse, no more heartaches. All of those things will go away. See, our hope is anchored in this place called heaven. And there's only one way to get there, and that's through Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection as we find forgiveness in him. Now, in 1 Peter 1:5, it says, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day. See, when you put your faith in God, it says here, it says, he is protecting you, that he brings you hope. He brings you hope, and he is the one who's protecting you. And some of you are going through a lot of trials right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Bible doesn't tell us that we won't have trouble. In fact, the Bible promises that you will have trouble. But when you can either try to tackle life's problems and life's difficulties and life's disappointments by your own power, or you can turn it over to him and let him do it by his power. Which one would you rather have? See, the greatest promise in the Bible, the promise that's repeated more than any other promise in the Bible, it's not even just the promise of heaven. It's not the promise of like no pain, because obviously you're going to have some. The greatest promise in the Bible is this. It's when God says, I will be with you. He says, I will be with you in the storms. I'll be with you when you feel like giving up. I'll be with you again and again. When you sin over and over and over, and then you think you got it licked, and then you sin again, it says, guess what? He's still going to be with you. When you're overwhelmed, when you're stressed out, when you're tired, he's going to be with you. He's going to be with you. And Jesus was resurrected so that he could be with us, that his spirit could dwell in us. I mean, you might think to yourself, I'm not good enough. That's okay. He'll be with you. He doesn't expect you to be good enough. He expects to be with you. You might think, I'm not strong enough. That's okay. He'll be your strength. You might say, I'm not smart enough. Well, that's okay. He will be with you, and he will give you wisdom if you will ask. Because of the resurrection, we can be sure that God is with us, and he always will be. If you keep going down in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, so be truly glad. Be truly glad. Everybody say, truly glad. You might be truly glad that we're coming to the end of the sermon. What are you truly glad about? You see, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. See, hope in the resurrection helps us develop this even though faith. Did you catch that? It says, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. See, even though. I mean, and the text says, be truly glad. Some other translations say, rejoice. Everybody say, rejoice. Okay, it says rejoice, okay, even though you might have to suffer for a little while. You rejoice even though there are trials, even though there are struggles. Be truly glad, even though relationships are falling apart, even though your job is stressful, even though you haven't yet met the love of your life. Maybe rejoice even though you have met the love of your life, but they aren't acting like it. Rejoice even though a friend might have stabbed you in the back. Rejoice even when somebody makes that post on Facebook that you wish they wouldn't have. Okay? Rejoice even though your kids are just driving you nuts. Rejoice when you're not sure you can change another diaper, or when your teenager is rebelling, when the diagnosis isn't what you want, even though you have lost a loved one. If you, if they have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though those things happen, you can rejoice. Be truly glad because Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven, so that our past could be healed, so that we have hope in heaven, and that we, through God's, have God's power protecting us. Folks, this is the hope of Easter. See, the toughest time in my life was losing my sister a few years ago to cancer. And today, my dad's still recovering from some things, and I hope he gains his strength. But as hard as those things are to go through, the way that we can go through those things is because we have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, I was so encouraged this morning because somebody told me, we visited your dad this last week, and he's witnessing to all the people in the hospital. And I got to tell you, there was this doctor who walked into the room. I thought I was going to have to ask the guy to see his high school diploma. He looked that young. And my dad just looked at him and he says, hey, doc, do you believe in Jesus? And the doctor says, well, yes, I do. And he says, then you understand. He says, if this old body has run its course, if it's time for me to go, then I'm good. Because Jesus saved me a long time ago. So as hard as it is to lose somebody that you love, as hard as it is to watch somebody that has been your rock start to wear out, there is a hope like nothing else the world knows. There is a hope that no matter what happens, that we will have eternity together. And that, my friends, is what can give you the strength to say, I'll see you later, and the strength to move on day by day, doing the things that will bring glory to our Heavenly Father who has saved us. Folks, you need this hope. If you don't have this hope this morning, we do not want to let you go without giving you the opportunity to say, I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to know His mercy. I need His forgiveness. I need His protection. I need for Him to direct my life. See, last July, I sat across the table, I think it was July, from a brother in Christ who let me know as we had lunch that he had been diagnosed with leukemia. His hope was not, though, simply in a treatment. His hope this whole time has been in the person of Jesus Christ. And our brother, Absalom, went through a bone marrow replacement. Man, it is a harsh treatment where they basically, the doctors tell you, we're going to have to kill you in order to save you. And they even give you a new birthday, which is quite interesting. And after the replacement, you have to stay in isolation for quite some time. What was amazing is I was visiting him not too long ago. He was so excited. He had this great joy about him. Because number one, right now he's in remission. But day 100, the day that he could go out of his house and be around other people, was today. And so I don't think he's in service yet. He's going to be in next service. But if you see him in the parking lot, just give him a little room, okay? We don't want to mob him. But you ask him, how important is hope when something like that pops up in your life? How important is this living hope when everything else starts to spin downward? Folks, you need this hope, and Christ offers it freely. It is the gift of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his grace alone. Folks, when things fall apart, where is your hope? See, we have this living hope, and I want to invite you to put your hope in Jesus Christ this morning. Not in something, but in someone, and the someone who rose from the grave. And he will bring life to you as well. We're going to celebrate communion in just a moment. They're going to pass some trays, and the little trays represent for us their way of us remembering Jesus' sacrifice. There's a little piece of bread that represents Jesus' broken body. There's a cup of juice that represents Jesus' shed blood. And our hope this morning is that as you take those things, that you will remember his sacrifice for you. And this morning, if you have not yet put your hope, your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ, then I'm going to ask even right now that any of our elders or our church staff who are here and their spouses to just come forward and sit up here in the front seats. And we want you to come and talk to us. You know, maybe during communion, maybe as we're singing one of these next couple songs, we want you to come because this morning, we don't want you to leave this place without having the hope of the resurrection firmly planted in your life. Because there is life in Jesus, and that is the hope of Easter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you this morning and we are thankful. We are thankful that in you, that God, you have made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us salvation, to bring us resurrection, to bring us back to life. And Father, we pray this morning that, Lord God, you would just, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that God, you would help us to not just know that you're present, but Father, that we would experience your presence. That Father, if there's someone in here this morning that knows they need that hope, that Father, that you would just nudge them, and that Father, Lord, we could talk about what it means to make Jesus Lord of our life. And Father, help us to go from this place today excited with great expectations. And Father, with no matter what gets us down, that Father, we will look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, and that God, you will energize us to live lives of wonderful expectation and of great joy because of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, because you've raised him from the dead. We love you, Father, and praise you. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.